Well, amen. What a blessing the music has been today. It just has truly touched my heart and ministered to my spirit. And so praise the Lord for that. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, go ahead and look with me to the book of Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. On Sunday mornings, we've been going and preaching and teaching in the book of Proverbs, a series on Proverbs. We've studied several things already. There's a need, possibly more than ever before in the United States of America, there's a need for biblical knowledge. And with biblical knowledge, wisdom, to be able to apply it. And then, if you will, just common sense, the common sense that we have from the Word of God. And last week, we looked at chapter 5 there, and we looked at the wisdom of biblical morality. The wisdom of biblical morality and the blessings that are associated with that. This morning we're looking here in the book of Proverbs in chapter 6. And if you will, we're going to be reading three verses, the first three verses. If you go ahead and stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 1. My son, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth, thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Do this now, my son, and deliver thyself. When thou art come into the hand of thy friend, go humble thyself and make sure thy friend. And let's pray. Father, as we bow before you, what a blessing it's already been just being in church. Thank you for what we've already received and the message of song. And I pray, Father, as we have looked into your word, we've read this passage of scripture, and there's so much connected to this throughout the scriptures. Pray that you would Lord, give us each and every one that ear to hear what you have to say to us individually and then collectively as a church. Give us a heart to make an application. Pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. We find there is a warning associated with this in chapter 3 about entering into agreements. But what I want to focus on is the idea of my friend and make sure thy friend. As we go back and we understand the creation of humanity and God's crown of creation was mankind. Created man in his own image, his own likeness. God designed man with a need for friendship. We know this because God has sought opportunity to enjoy the friendship with mankind. In the Bible, in Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, it says, thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. There's nothing that God created that he finds more pleasure in than in a relationship with mankind. In 2 Chronicles, in chapter 20, the Bible says, referring to God, the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever. We know that Abraham was known as the friend of God, and yet it's a seed of Abraham, which would be Israel, thy friend forever. There's much that the Bible has to say about friendships, and some people are stubborn and they say, I don't need any friends. You don't understand how God designed you. You really do. There's other relationships we have in life, but in each one of these relationships, there is that friendship relationship that can be connected to each one, as we'll see in a few minutes. But in the book of wisdom, and what we're looking here with Bible knowledge, wisdom, and common sense to apply it, make sure thy friend. So the message this morning is wisdom needed in friendships. Wisdom needed in friendships. The Bible, as we study it, we read throughout the scriptures, we find the scriptures give positive and negative statements concerning this relationship of friendship. Make sure thy friend, I think we know that we need to make sure of those that we are running with, those that we look to as friends. The Bible says over in the book of Proverbs in chapter 13 and verse 20, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Fools do not believe in God. They don't understand true friendship. The wise understand God, and we understand those scriptures to help us to realize the importance of friendship. So when we're aware of that and we're making sure he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Over in the book of Proverbs, chapter 17, and I'm just going to go through a couple of these with you just to help you understand this information that God gives us concerning this relationship that God designed man with a need for. In Proverbs chapter 17, in verse 17, the Bible says this, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Friendship based upon love. Other relationships are not really based upon love. A brother is based upon DNA, based upon having the same parents. And the Bible even says they're born for adversity. Yeah. I have a lot of other types of relationships. But friendship is a relationship that we need to apply to every other relationship of life. Marriage, a very important relationship that you choose, but in that relationship, the friendship relationship is really the key to the marriage. And a friendship relationship is based on love because a friend loveth at all times. There's never a time that a genuine friend ever stops loving, according to the Word of God. In chapter 18, if you look there in verse 24, the Bible says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. This relationship can even be stronger than that of blood. But friendship is based upon, first of all, being one. A man that hath friends, what God would determine as a friendship relationship, must show himself to be a friend. Wow, powerful. That's a powerful statement right there. Chapter 27, the book of Proverbs. In chapter 27 in the book of Proverbs in verse 6. Faithful are the wounds. Now remember, it's based on love. You wound somebody that you love. Sometimes they need to face the things that might be hurtful to begin with. Maybe a tough love type of situation. But faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Now, most of the Proverbs are antithetical statements, and they have one truth, and they address it from two different angles. And we find here, this is what it's talking about here. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. That is a true friend. A true friend is going to be truthful, and sometimes that truth that needs to be presented might hurt to start with. But you love somebody too much to lie to them. Because true friendship is based upon, first of all, love. And what's best. And that's tough love. But somebody who will give you the kisses of an enemy. Yeah. It's not what we need. We need somebody just agreeing with us even when we're wrong. We don't need yes men as friendships in our relationships. We need the truth. So friend must be truthful. Chapter 27 and verse 9. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. The counsel that we give concerning a true friend is the counsel of God, because that's truth. What kind of counsel do we give? What kind of counsel do we receive? The Bible says, just like ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, what you need to rejoice in is hearty counsel, the counsel that works. Even though a person might not want to hear it, I'm going to give them the counsel that I know works. Chapter 27 and verse 17, again, just understanding this idea of friendship relationships is something that the Bible has much to say about and something that we need to be aware of. In chapter 27 and verse 17, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Don't be afraid to say what needs to be said. We need that. Somewhat the same thing there. Just need truth. We need honesty. We need God to counsel. A friend gives that. In the book of Ecclesiastes, right after Proverbs, we find the book of Ecclesiastes in chapter 4 and verse 9. The Bible says this, two are better than one. God's saying that because God designed humanity. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. C.H. Spurgeon said this. He said, friendship is one of the sweetest joys of life. Many might have failed beneath the bitterness of their trials had they not found a friend. Isn't that so true? Look back over our lives. Where would we be if God hadn't sent the right person at the right time, with the right message? You see, because of man's need for friendship with God, God sent Jesus. Come on, you have to understand that, especially this time of the year. And you understand what December 25th is all about. Is God so loving the world and understanding the need of mankind? And the greatest need is to have a friendship relationship with God. John chapter 15, Jesus presented this. Jesus helped his disciples and for us to understand this as well. But in John chapter 15, verse 13. John chapter 15 and verse 13, Jesus says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life, look right here, for his friends. Somebody that would lay down their life for you, I think that you would be able to look to that individual and say, that is a true friend. They're willing to sacrifice. They're willing to die in my stead. They're willing to lay down their life for me. I'm blessed to have any friend like that. Because that's based on true love. That's based on a commitment to that relationship. And understanding what the need is of that individual. And if they have a need for me to lay down my life for them, if they are my friend, I am willing to lay down my life for my friend. That's what Jesus is presenting. Ye are my friends. Now, he revealed himself. He's the Messiah. He is God manifested in the flesh. And he says to humanity, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. What? A relationship. It's in this idea of friendship with God. God's part was based upon love. And he did that which no man could do. He laid down his life so that we might live. That was love that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It was love for Jesus himself to go to the cross of Calvary. It was that love that is the basis for true friendship. Our part as we receive Jesus as Lord and understanding who he is and understanding what he has done for us, our part is found in verse 14 when he says, ye are my friends. If you've received me, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. As you look to him as Lord, as you look to him as your Savior, as you look to him as God, as you look to his words as what's most important in our lives to follow after. God's part based on love. Our part as we receive Jesus as Lord is to obey, is to do, and to look to him as Lord and follow his instructions. In verse 15, as we do this, we become, the Bible says, friends of God's. Wow. All who believe and receive Christ are given friendship status. I love that thought. Because as a friend, he loved you. As a friend, he knows what we need the most. And what we need the most, first of all, is having our sins forgiven and being washed and to be reconciled to an almighty creator God. And so knowing that, loving us, knowing what needed to be done, he laid down his life for you. And for all who would receive the gift, that's who he died for. All can be saved. Anyone can be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But when you call upon the name of the Lord, then you received him, you believe in him, you received him. And at that moment, not only have you been saved, but you have been given friendship status with an almighty God. Yes, he's my Lord, he's my Savior, but can I tell you, I also find comfort in knowing that God has made me his friend. Now, that's not to call him the man upstairs. That should never be done. That's not to belittle who he is. That is to exalt who he is. To realize that he loves me. And he wants that friendship relationship on top of being adopted into the family of God. Not only am I a child of God's, but I am, as a child of God's, even more so. I'm a friend. Wow. Yeah, what a great relationship. He laid down his life for me. If you're saved, he laid down his life for you. And when you receive that, you have a friend in Jesus. Yeah. As friends of Jesus, maybe see it a different light here. As friends of Jesus, he will send us to be a friend to others. That's part of the Great Commission. As part of the reason that we are saved and stay on earth. When he's finished with us on earth, he's going to call us home to glory. But as long as we are here on earth, we're here to represent him. And as he befriended us, he's given us insight into knowing what a true friend should be. And he has sent us to be that same kind of friend to others. Acts chapter 9, we have an example. Now we have examples of friendship throughout the Bible. I think that God sent Jonathan to be David's friend at a moment when David needed something in order for him to be all that he could be. He sent him a Jonathan in the Old Testament. In the book of Acts in chapter 9, we find the Apostle Paul. And what a tremendous, tremendous story the Apostle Paul is. I mean, what a heathen to start with. And what a persecutor of Christianity and all the things that he did. And he's a chiefest of sinners, and yet he got saved. And because he got saved, he became a friend of God's. And as a friend of God's, God knew what he needed, and he sent him someone at just the right time. And his name was Ananias. In Acts in chapter 9, we find the conversion of Saul, who would become Paul. And in verse 10, it says this, "And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, 'Ananias,' and he said, 'Behold, I am here, Lord.'" Okay, so he's already a friend of God. He's looking to Jesus as Lord to be obedient to whatever God would have him to do. "And the Lord said unto him, 'Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming.'" Say, "Ananias, I'm already preparing him for you. He is in need right now of what I have prepared you to be to him. As you have received me, you understand the friendship relationship that I have with you. Now what I have prepared you for, I am sending you to someone who is in need of that type of a friend." "And he's seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight." Drop down to verse 17. "And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, 'Brother Saul.'" He said, "You've received Jesus Christ, and so because of that, you become a brother. And now I want to be a friend on top of you being my brother. Because at this moment in time, God knows your need, and God has sent me to help you as a friend." And he calls him Brother Saul. "The Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou comest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes, and it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized." Who do you think helped him to understand that? A true friend that God sent to him. What Jesus has done for us is what we need to do for others as a true friend. See, Jesus reconciled me to God. If you're going to be a true friend, if you've been reconciled to God, your first desire for everyone in your life, as you want to be the friend that they need, is have a desire to see them reconciled to God. You want to know whether or not you're the kind of friend that God wants you to be, the kind of friend that ought to, that person needs? Are you loving that person as Christ loved you? Are you focused on what Christ was focused on in your need as you focus on the need of your friends? They might be a relative. They might be a brother. They might be a sister. They might be an aunt, an uncle, a parent. On top of that relationship, they need you as a friend. And a friend loveth at all times. A friend is concerned mainly about the greatest need that everyone has, and that is to know God. Matter of fact, over in the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter 5, 2 Corinthians in chapter, let me just read this to you. But 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. I love that. What Jesus has done for us as a true friend, he died for us. He did what we needed him to do to be reconciled to God. See, all we need to do for our friends to help them to be reconciled to God is to introduce them to Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. He's not requiring us to be crucified so that they can live. No, that was a one-time deal, and only Jesus could pay that sin debt. We ought to be willing to if that's what it takes. But all it really takes is for you to see their need and for you to tell them about Jesus and what he's done for you, and the friend that he has been for you, your intercessor. Yeah. Are we concerned about our friend's salvation? Jesus has showed me how to love. Friendship is based upon true love, not lust and what you can do for me, but love and what God has me here to do for you. Yeah. John chapter 13, let me just read this to you. John chapter 13 and verse 34 and verse 35. Everybody following me this morning? Amen. Good stuff here. This is things that we need to understand a part of everyday life. Not only do we need good friends and godly friends, we need to be godly friends. We need to be the friend that God wants us to be, that God has saved us to be to others. In John chapter 13 and verse 34 and verse 35, the Bible says that a new commandment, Jesus is speaking to his disciples who are saved, who are his friends, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. You might want to love them the way you want to love them, but that's not the way that they need to be loved. They need to be loved the way that God has loved you. And that's how he wants us to love others, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. How has Jesus loved you?
Willing to sacrifice. His love was not selfish. His love was not
what we can do for him. His love was based on what he could do for us. And whatever that was, he was willing. Do we have that kind of love for others? And whatever relationship we might have, maybe it's a coworker that you call friend and they look to you as their friend, but have you ever shared the gospel with them? Are you willing to sacrifice for their greatest need? Not only that, but Jesus gave me an example on how to live life. I love that, because how do we determine what direction we're going to go in life? No doubt our parents have a huge part in this and raising us in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, or not. But how we're raised has a huge part in developing our minds and our desires and how we're going to live life, whether we believe in God or don't believe in God, whether we go to church or don't go to church. There are a lot of these things. But God loved me enough to say, I'm going to live a life that you can follow. And it's a life that will bring you joy. It's a life that will bring you blessings from God. He gave me an example, and he tells me in Galatians in chapter 2, write these verses down so you can go back and study them. But in Galatians in chapter 2 and verse 20, Paul says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I. I'm going to live different than the flesh wants me to live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I live with Christ in me as he would have me to live in representing him. What a blessing it is to have a friend like Jesus. Yeah. He reconciled me to God. He showed me how to love. He gave me an example on how to live. One more. As my friend, he helps me to know what to think. You ever have trouble with knowing what to think about certain situations? What to think about life, what to think about relationships, what to think about this, what to think about that. And sometimes our minds just run wild if you don't know how to corral it. In Philippians in chapter 2 and verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Bringing every thought to the obedience of Christ. I think you might stay sane if you just had the right thoughts in your mind. Insanity comes because of wrong thinking. What a blessing to have the thoughts of Christ available to us. Jesus has done for me in preparation that I might do for others. So that I might be a true friend. And when I show myself to be a true friend, can I tell you what it'll do for you? It'll bring in true friends into your life as well. What a friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. We have a friend. As we acknowledge our friend, we can be the kind of friend that all people need. I could have every head bowed this morning. The wisdom and friendships. The wisdom and being the friend that others truly need. Father, we bow before you and we do love you and thank you, Lord God, for the greatest friend anyone could ever have, and that's the friendship of our Savior. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here this morning that does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, they do not have that friendship relationship with an almighty God, I pray today will be that day that they would choose Jesus. Believe that he loves them, that he died for them, that he offers them this gift of everlasting life. And receive that today while there's still opportunity for them to receive it. Bless in this invitation. Work in our midst. In Jesus' name. Amen.